Today's shiur is Masechta Sanhedrin Daf Ayin Tes. We will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbaruch on Daf Ayin Ches Amud Beis at the Mishnah. Teaches us the Mishnah Skavel Haragas of Behema. If somebody threw a stone with the intention that that stone should kill an animal for Haragas Adam, and instead of killing the animal, killed the human being that was standing there, or vice versa, Loivik Kachavim, there was an intention for the stone to hit Akum for Hargas Yisrael, and instead it hit a Yisrael in the Fallen, it was intended to hit a child that is not going to survive a Nephil, and therefore one is not Chayiv for the murder of such an individual. And at the end, Hargas Ben Kayama, it hit a living person. In all these cases, he's Potter. That even though he was warned that it will may kill somebody, still, it wasn't a type of a act that's going to cause that somebody should necessarily die. And therefore, since it wasn't an act that will necessarily cause somebody to die, even though it was a Asra, this is a Asra Suffolk. And as the Aruch HaNer points out, even though, as we learned and will learn in Mitzvah Shem, there is a question if Asra Suffolk Shema Asra or not, and there are opinions that Hasra Suffolk is not an Hasra, still says the Aruch, there is a Hasra, says the Aruch HaNer, that's not this situation. When we have this situation where we don't know or we don't think that his act is going to cause a death, everybody will agree that the Hasra under these circumstances is not considered a Hasra. And the Yad Ramah goes a step further, that again, even though there was a Hasra, this act cannot be considered more than a Shagig. Why, when somebody intends to kill a Nephil, is it not considered an act of murder? Because the Nephil is not considered as if it's a living human being. He's considered like somebody who's already dead. Moreover, since the Rashi seems to say that even in a case where we're not certain that this child is a Nephil, but since there are a decent amount of children, unfortunately, who are in the Fallen, so Rashi's approach seems to be that if there's a decent amount of people who are in the Fallen, then we can't consider any child not being a Nephil until we're certain that he's not. Continues the Mishnah, the intention was to hit the victim on his hip, and that type of a blow would not eliminate the person. That would not kill the person. But what happened was the stone, instead of hitting Masnov, hit his heart. And that, that did have the ability to kill him, and therefore mace. In this case, again, he's potter. Because the Hasra, again here, was Hasra Suffolk. Because he didn't, the simple understanding of what was going to happen here was not going to kill the person. Niskaven lahakos alibay, we had intention to hit him on the heart. And then, and that could have killed the victim. But instead of going on the heart, it hit the masnov. No, under normal circumstances, this would not be able to kill the individual. But he died, umeis potter. Because even though his intention was to do something that would normally kill somebody, but the intention has to be combined with an act. And this doesn't have that, because the intention was a bad intention, but the act was that actually occurred was not a bad act. Niskavel Hakas is a godl. He intended to strike somebody who's an adult, and that type of blow, that wouldn't have the ability to kill that individual. And then, v'ochalei al cotton, but instead of hitting the godl, it hit the cotton. And for that, it did have the ability to strike, umeis potter, because even if there was an hasra, explained the Mishonim, and they were, he was told it might hit the cotton that's standing there. But that wasn't the intention, and since that wasn't the intention, he's not chayv. The Tiferes Yisrael explains, why did the Mishnah have to give us two examples that of the same same case, Niskavan al-Masnov, Volchel al-Liboy, Niskavan al-Hakas, Sakol of Holoch al-Kotten. Says the Tiferes Yisrael, each one of these cases contains a chiddush. In the case where he intended to hit him al-Masnov, and then it went to Liboy, because since it wouldn't be able to kill him al-Masnoi, so then even when it went Liboy, since it's one body, so I would think maybe it should be chayiv, teaches us the Mishnah that the fact that it's all within one body doesn't make a difference. When it's a gadol and a katan, so there we're talking about an act for the katan is a full-fledged act of a murder. There the issue is it's two different bodies. And therefore the Mishnah is teaching us that whether it's within one body, or whether it's two bodies, in both of these cases you'll be potter. Niskaven lahakas a katan, if somebody intended to strike a katan, and it has the ability to kill a cotton, but instead it hit a gadol. Under normal circumstances, it cannot. This act cannot kill a gadol, but this gadol, for whatever reason, died. He's potter because he didn't die from a blow which would normally kill him. And a murderer is not chayiv only if he struck a person with a type of blow that could kill him. Aval, Niskam al-Hags al-Masnov, if he intended to hit the Masnov, V'hayba k'day l'havmas al-Masnov, and if it would hit the Masnov, it would normally kill the person by that type of a blow. V'holchalay al-Liboy, and instead it went on the heart, and there was an intention, there was an intentional blow that could kill, and it did kill, it just wasn't on the place where he originally intended it should go, or mace, then the perpetrator would be chayiv. Similarly, Niskam l'hakas is a gadol. He intended it to gadol. V'hoi b'kadei l'hamas is a gadol. V'hoi chaloi al-cotton, and it hit the cotton. So the cotton is included within the gadol, and therefore, in this case, the perpetrator will be chayim misa. If Shimon I'm afil Niskam l'hargazeh v'hargazeh, if Shimon tells us a new halacha, if there was an intention to kill one person, and instead of killing that person, it killed another person, says Rav Shimon in these cases that you potter. And the Gemara right away tries to analyze Rav Shimon's opinion. Rav Shimon Ahai, on which case of the Mishnah is Rav Shimon referencing? Ilei Masefer, what the Tanakham has said, that if he intended to hit the gadol and to hit the cotton, and the cotton died, so from that we'll see that Rav Shimon's opinion is that the Tanakham said, Niskavim l'harik said, Godel v'harik is a cotton, Yechayiv. And Rav Shimon's opinion is going to be, that Niskavim l'harik is a v'harik is a potter. So ask the Gemara, if that's what Rav Shimon meant to teach us, Rav Shimon potter me'boyle. Rav Shimon just should have said, that in this case I hold potter. And also, another question is, that Rav Shimon should have not used the word afilu. Rav Shimon just should have told us the Tanakham holds in Skamal Haragzev Haragzev Chayiv, and I hold its potter. Ella says the Gemara of Shimon's going back to the Reisha, where the Reisha said in Skamal Haragzev Haragzev Adam, Live Kavim Haragzev Yisrael, Nafal Vaharag Ben Kayama. That in all these cases, Rav Shimon said that you potter. And as we explained when we learned the Mishnah, the reason being because it's a Hasra Sophic, so it seems, that if there would have been intention to kill a full-fledged Yisrael, and therefore in such a situation there is a proper Hasra, and as the Rishonim point out, from here we see that even though the Hasra was on one individual, if it's a proper Hasra, it will be a Hasra on the other individual as well. And that's why the Tanakhama says it's chayiv, Rav Shimon Omer. Rav Shimon is going to say that in this case, afilu niskam l'harik hazeh, you had intention to kill this Ben Yisrael, v'harik hazeh, and you killed a different Ben Yisrael, potter. That's how to understand the Mishnah. So the question, of course, is that what is the difference between what we learned originally? We said that Reb Shimon did not, we can't explain that Reb Shimon's referencing the Sefer because his wording is misleading. So we're saying he's referencing the Reisha. But the point is exactly the same. Reb Shimon is holds the Niskamal Haragzev, Haragzev's Potter. So why didn't he just say it in the simplest way? So I saw that the Yad Ramah explains that if we only had Reb Shimon referencing the Sefer, we would have said that Reb Shimon holds that in all the cases of this Mishnah, the Mishnah had a number of situations where the Tanna Kamma says Chayiv. And we would say that in all those cases, Reb Shimon holds is Potter. So now the Gemara is saying, no, Reb Shimon is not referencing all the cases. For example, the case that if somebody, the Skaven Lakoyse al Moisnov, they wanted to hit his Mosnov, and if it would have hit the Mosnov, the victim would have died. But it hit the Liboy, and the victim died. In such a case, even Reb Shimon will agree that you're Potter. So what the Gemara is saying is that Reb Shimon is referring only to the first case of the Mishnah, where there the Tanna Kamma holds Chayiv, and Reb Shimon will hold Potter. But in other cases of our Mishnah, where the Tanna Kamma holds Chayiv, it could very well be that Reb Shimon concurs with that Psak. Pshita. So now the Gemara tries to understand how to understand the opinion of Reb Shimon when Reb Shimon says Niskam laharagazeh, for haragazeh is Potter. Pshita. Koy Reuven v'Shimon. If Reuven and Shimon are standing right next to each other, Vama anola Reuven kamechavna, I specifically want to hit Reuven, l'shimolayim kamechavna, I have no interest in hitting Shimon. Hana plaktayu, that's the machlokes that we've been learning throughout our Mishnah, of Niskam laharagazeh, for haragazeh. Omar, if he said l'chaminayu, if he said to one of these people, I'm going to throw a stone at you, and whoever it hits, that's the one I want to kill, my. What will Reb Shimon say in this case? Reb Shimon said that whoever it hits, I want to kill. So that means his intention was carried out. Or do we say that since he didn't since he didn't specifically mean the person he was looking to hit, the person who was ultimately hit, that's not considered enough kavana to make him into a murderer. Inami, or in a case where Sover Reuven, he thought that the person he's throwing the stone at is Reuven, and then it turns out to be Shimon. What will be the halacha according to Shimon in these situations? Toshma. So Gemara brings a brisa, the Tanya of Shimon Omer, he says, I has to know and be clear that he has this specific victim in mind. Anything less, according to Reb Shimon, will not be considered an act of murder. Ask the Gemara, my time to Reb Shimon, why is that? I'm a craw, because the pasuk says, v'chi ish soin al reyu, v'arv loy v'kam alav, v'kod nefesh umeis. What is the Torah trying to add with the words, v'arv loy? That's to be very clear, premeditated intent. And anything less than that will not be considered an act of murder. Rabbanan, and the Rabbanan who disagree with Reb Shimon and don't require such a high level of intent, what would they do with these words, v'arv loy? Answers the Gemara, Amri de Beir Abyanai, they will say that this pasuk is speaking about a case. Prat Lazarek Evan Lagav. It's speaking in a situation where there's a group of people standing and he threw the stone into that group. So ask the Gemara, what is the case that we're speaking about now? Hechidomi. Exactly what is the case? Ilam the Ikatisha Kutim, where we have 9 Kutim, Vechad Yisrael Beinayim. We have a group of 10 people, 9 Kutim and 1 Yisrael. Typically, so of course in such a case, the perpetrator will be Potter. Tepele, because the reason is the Ruba Kutim Nenu. Most of the people in this group are Kutim. And since most of the people in this group, since most of the group is Kutim, of course, you're not going to be Chayiv for murder. Inami, even if you'll say that that's palga by palga. Even if we say it's 50-50, this should be considered a situation of a suffix nefashos. And we know that the pasuk says v'tzila eda, that we, by suffix nefashos, the loch is that you're makel. So there are two approaches in the Rishonim how to learn this Gemara. The Rashi learns that you threw a stone into a group with a nine kutim and one Yisrael. Is that considered a situation that you intended to kill a Yisrael? And the Gemara says that that is not considered a situation where you intended to kill a Yisrael. This Yad Ramah says that it's referring to a situation where a group of people, and the person who's giving Hasra says, you should know that in that group there's a Yisrael, and your act may kill him. And that's why the question is that considered a act of murder? The Chasam Sofer explains that according to the Yad Ramah, if one person will leave the group, in a case where Roiv a Yisraelim, and he has intention to kill him, so now we have a new concept. Because we have a concept of called the parish, meruba parish. If somebody leaves a group, we always say, call the parish, meruba parish. It must be that they've all been there all along. According to Rashi, since Roiv Anachrim, so it's certainly not considered a situation where he intended to kill a Yisrael, and therefore we understand that it's poshut that the person, the murderer, is not considered a murderer. But the Ramah says that he explains that the reason is that we follow Roiv, because his intention might have been to kill a Jew. So according to Rashi, in a case where it's palga palga, so we have a suffix, and the Torah says, suffix nefashos lahakel. The Torah says, v'tzilu a'eda, and from v'tzilu a'eda we know that we always, in this type of a situation, it go lahakel. But when we speak about the concept of suffix nefashos lahakel, and Rashi said, that's based on the pasuk v'tzilu a'eda. Ask Tosfos, why is it necessary to teach us the pasuk v'tzilu a'eda? Why don't we say, ha'moitz mechaveri olav araya? We don't know if this should be considered an act of murder. So until you could prove that it's an act of murder, why don't we say, ha'moitz mechaveri olav araya? So from here, explain the achroinim, Rabbi Chanan discusses this, that we don't apply the concept of a moitz mechaveri olav araya only by civil disputes. When there's a question, do I owe you the money? Don't I owe you the money? That's where we have a rule of moitz mechaveri olav araya. But if we're talking about a person's life, so Rabbi Chanan explains, a person is not considered a muchzuk on his life. What is the principle of a moitz mechaveri olav araya? The principle of moitz mechaveri olav araya is that whoever has the money is considered a muchzuk in that money. And if you want to take away that money, you have to be able to have strong proof that you have a valid claim. But that's when I am the muchzik and you want to take something away from me. When we speak about a person's life, that's not considered that I am muchzik on it. And therefore, we don't apply the concept of matzav v'chaver olav araya. So again, we're trying to figure out what is the case that va'arav loy, according to Rabbanan, is coming to teach us. Says the Mara loy tzricha, the case is, dikatish yisrael v'kuti echa b'nayim, the nine yisraelim and one kuti. They have a kuti kavua, but since the kuti is kavua in that spot, and the halacha is that we call kavua, then whenever we have a situation of kavua, even though if we look at the numbers, it's nine Yisrael and one kuti, but because it's a situation of kavua, the halacha is that kol kavua kamachze machze dami. And Rashi says this is the source that we have for kol atarah kula, that kol kavua kamachze machze dami. There were a number of ways how to understand this concept of kol kavur kvach zemachzadami. Some say that it's a chiddush ha-Torah, that the same Torah that taught us that we follow Roiv also teaches us that when it's a situation of kavua, we don't follow the Roiv. That's one way of learning. Another way of explaining is that it's not considered roif. Don't look at this situation that we have a roif, the way we explained the Gemara, we have a roif Yisraelim. When it's kavua, that is not considered a situation of roif. And the nafkamina is that the Prima Godim asks another interesting question by kavua. We know that there's a concept in halacha of svek sveka. So do we say in a case of kavua, and we don't, there's just like by svek, just by kavua we don't follow roiv, or is the same by, we don't say the rules of svek sveka. And again, if we say that it's a chiddush haTorah, so maybe the chiddush haTorah is only vis-a-vis roiv, it's not vis-a-vis svek sveka. But if it's considered that there's not, kavua takes away everything, so then maybe even svek sveka is not a halachic principle to follow. Similarly, the Prima Godim says one of the other, and all of these are tools that the halacha uses in a case of a suffik. So what's going to be the case where we have a chazaka, which is also a tool that's used in a case of a suffik? Will we use the tool of chazaka by when we have a kavua? Another tool that the halacha is, that the halacha uses karev, what is closest? Do we use that tool in a case of kavua? The Rishonim also debate when we say this concept of kavua. When do we say the concept of kavua? Does it have to be noticeable? Does this nochri that's standing amongst the Yisraelim have to be an individual that we can identify as the nochri? Or it's not necessary. As long as he's standing there, the halacha is that it's kavua. The Chochmas Adam seems to say, as long as one person knows that there's a that he's, as long as it's nikkur to one person, it's enough not to be considered a kavua. Which is most interesting, because there's always going to be one person, the person himself. The Shari Yosher disagrees with the Chochmas Adam. Says the Gemara, Bishlamo. So now, continues the Gemara. Bishlamo Rabbanan the Amri. The Gemara goes back to the fundamental machloikis that we have been learning between Rav Shimon and Rabbanan. What's the loch in the skamel harukazeh, the harukazeh? So says the Gemara, Bishlamo Rabbanan the Amri, the skamel harukazeh, the harukazeh, schayiv, the ksiv. Because the pasuk says, v'chiyinotzu anoshim, if two people are fighting, v'nokvi shahara, and they harm a pregnant woman. And Rabbi Lozer explains that what is the pasuk teaching us? The pasuk speaking about a case where these people are battling with the intention to kill. The ksiv, because the pasuk says, which means that the woman died. The Torah says, and he's learning that the halacha that he's going that the perpetrator is considered a ritzeach. Why do we have to say this? Most simple. Because if we're going to say that there was no intention to kill, why would the perpetrator be considered a murderer? Why would it be chayiv misa? Ask the Gemara, so this pasuk is teaching us, if we learn the pasuk simple, that there was an intention to kill the other man, and instead of killing the other man, he killed the woman. And that's considered enough to be considered a retzeach. So we've seen the skamel haragazeh, the haragazeh is an act of retzicha. Ask the Gemara, however, according to Shimon, who holds that the skamel haragazeh, the haragazeh is potter. Ask the Gemara, hayvin asatu nefesh, tachas nefesh, my avad lay, what's he going to do with this pasuk? Says the Gemara, Rav Shimon says, when the pasuk says, when the satu nefesh, tachas nefesh, the Torah doesn't mean to say that the perpetrator will be killed. It means, momen, they'll have to pay for the value of this woman, how much she would be worth as a shifcha kananis. Ukud Rebbe, and this is what Rebbe teaches us as a braisa, the Tanya, Rebbe teaches us, Rebbe Oymer, the pasuk that teaches us, that says, v'nusata nefesh tachas nefesh, means, momen, that you have to pay. At Oymer, momen, doesn't mean that you have to pay for the value of this woman, the victim, or en el nefesh mamish, or maybe the murderer should be put to death, as the halacha is of any murderer, says the Braisa, nemer nesina lamata. The Torah says, v'mosun yev v'nesata nefesh tachas nefesh, v'nemra Nesina Lamala. The pasuk says, "V'chiyinatu anoshi v'nakve ishi hara v'yatzi ledev la'yasun anish anish k'shiyasher la'bal ishi v'nasu b'flilim." Mala halen. The pasuk that says this first pasuk that we just read is speaking about mammon afkan. This pasuk of the satan nefesh tachas nefesh is not teaching us that we killed the perpetrator, but rather it comes to teach us that he's going to have to pay the value of the woman. Why doesn't he get killed? Because it's niskav al har gazeh, v'har gazeh. Says the Gemara, Amar Rava, Hayditani by Chizkiah. The braisa that we're about to learn, which was taught in the yeshiva of Chizkiah, Mafka Merebi, it disagrees with what Rebbe just said, that in this case, the perpetrator would have to pay for the value of the woman, or mafka mid rabbanon, who say that there's a chiv misa, even though it's niskavel har gazeh for har gazeh. And the Gemara explains, the Tana de Bei Chizkiah, the Braisa says, umaka behemi shalmena, umaka adam yumas. Says the Braisa, maka adam, umaka behema. The Torah speaks about these two cases. And the Torah says that when you maka behema, you have to pay for the value of the animal. But when you maka adam and you kill a person, you don't pay because you're going to be killed for that reason. Ma maka behema. So says the Chizkiah. When we speak about somebody who kills an animal, like halakdaba, there are many points that the halacha teaches us when we kill an animal, when we kill somebody. But when we kill an animal, all of those factors are immaterial. It doesn't make a difference if you killed the animal b'shogig or b'mezid, b'miskaven or shein miskaven, whether there was intent or there wasn't intent, derech yirida or derech aliyah. It doesn't make a difference how the act of murder happened, going down or going up. In all these cases, the point is not lefatra m'mamon to absolve him from having to pay for the value of the animal, rather lechayv mamon. He's going to have to pay for the value of the animal under all circumstances, because if somebody does damage, adam mu'ud la'olam, and he will be held responsible in all situations. Af mak adam, the same halacha is that when somebody kills a person, rachman salon, le'tachak boy, bein shogig l'mezid, bein miskam l'she'en miskavin, bein derech yirida, derech aliyah, then in all these cases, you're not chayiv mamon, you're chayiv elefatra mamon, you're potter. So this clearly is different than what Rebbe said, because Rebbe said that we just identified a case when the skavon lahar gazeh, the har gazeh, where Rebbe says, you will be chayiv mamon. My she'enim eskavon. But now ask the Gemara, what was meant when the Braisa kept on saying, im enim eskavon? In ilemel enim eskavon klal, that somebody had no intention to kill somebody. So ask the Braisa, Hainu Shagig. That's Shagig. Ela Pshita, Deim Eskavim Lezeh, Ela Lezeh. He had no intention to kill this victim, but he killed a different victim. Viktani, then these cases, that he's not Chayiv Mamon, Ela Patra Mamon. But ask the Gemara, Ibak Tola, if the Rabbanan are correct, then the Eskavim Lehar Gezeh, for Har Gezeh, is Chayiv as a murderer. So of course, why would we need a pasuk that tells us he doesn't have to pay? Of course he doesn't have to pay. It would be a classical example of kimle b'drabne, elav shmamina. From here we're learning that in this case, both labak tolahu, he's not chayv misa, because lehaskam lahar gzeh, the har gzeh, is not chayv misa, like Rav Shimon, not like the Rabbanan. On the other hand, he doesn't have to pay for the value of the victim, unlike what Rebbe said, that in such a case, when the skam lahar gazeh v'har gazeh, you're not chayiv misa, but you're chayiv mamon. Here we see you wouldn't be chayiv mamon either. Says the Mishnah Retzach, Scharev b'cherim. If a murderer got mingled up with other individuals, kulam p'turim. The halach is that all of them are potter from death. Rav Yehuda says what we do is, we take all of these individuals and we put them into a keeper, into a cell, which is a small cell, and we give the person minimal food until the stomach shrinks. And after we give them this minimal food and the stomach shrink, then they feed them barley And that caused them to ultimately pass away. Why does the Mishnah speak about a Ritzeach? Why don't we speak about all other people? So some explain that we're not, as we just learned, and we'll continue learning with Shem and the Gemara, this person is really not Chayiv Misa, because we don't know for sure who is what, and we can't just give Misa. In this case, however, the reason we're giving Misa, because we have to eliminate a Ritzeach. So even though Beis Din cannot technically give Misa, because it's not a case where we have everything lined up, but because we have an obligation to eliminate Rotzchim, that's why we could put this person into the keep and do what we have to do. Another halacha, says the Mishnah, that we've learned, and we'll continue learning, there are different halachas of Misa, who Misa is Beis Din. So now the question is, people who are chayiv, different forms of Misa Beis Din, all got commingled. The Dina Bakala, since we don't know which one is chayiv what, the halacha is that we give them all the most lenient Misa. So therefore, says the Mishnah, says the Mishnah, Haniskal ben Nisrafim, you have people who are chayiv skila, and you have people who are chayiv srefa, who got mixed up. Rav Shemin Eimer, since we just learned the principle is, we give the more lenient Misa, says Rav Shimon, we give him skila, because Rav Shimon's opinion is that the Sreifa is the more severe Misa versus skila. The Chamar in the Dina B'Sreifa, we give him Sreifa, because he holds that the skila, because they hold the skila's Chamura. Amar Rav Shimon, Shimon makes his point. How do we know that, how do I know that Sreifa is more Chamar, is more severe? Because Ilalai Haisa Sreifa Chamura, if it wasn't that way, that Sreif is considered the most severe Misa, like Nitin Labas Kanchez Insa. We've learned many times that the Torah tells us that Bas Ish Koin, Kisechel is nice, Azaviyahim Mechaleles, Beish Tisarif. So the Torah singles out the Bas Koin, who was immoral, that she's Chayiv Sreifa. It must be because Sreifa is a more serious Misa. In the Amrloi, the Chum say, if not that Skila was the more severe Misa, we see the terrible sin of Megadif and the terrible sin of Varish Kechavim. In both of these cases, the halach is that the Skila. If Hanarogim ben Achnokim, if the people who are Chayiv Saif got mingled with the people who are Chayiv Chenik, here too, we have a machlok. So Shimon Omer, Saif. The Saif is considered the less severe Misa. And as the principle that was stated in the Mishnah says, that in such a case, we give the less severe Misa, and it'll be Saif. The Chacham hold that Chenik is considered the less severe Misa. And since the Chacham hold to the less, since we give him the less severe Misa, so we're going to give Chenik. So our Mishnah taught us that under certain circumstances, Beis Din has a right to, even though a pi halacha, the rules of Dinei Torah that we've been learning in our Masechta, this Beis Din cannot give the person Misa, but they'll put him into the keeper. One of the examples we have is where there isn't proper hasra. So as we keep on learning in our shiurim, if there isn't proper hasra, we cannot kill the person. But even though there isn't proper hasra, we can't kill the person. If Beis Din sees the need, what they're going to do is they're going to put the person into the keeper. The Rambam says that although one kills somebody only through grama, so that person is not chayiv misa. However, says the Rambam, in order to deter other people from doing such an act, says the Rambam that Beis Din should imprison the person for many years and beat him and torture him, that this will serve as a deterrent that this person, that other people will not do the same. The Gemara says that the person, continues the Gemara, Man Acherim, who are the Acherim that are mentioned in in our Mishnah. The Mishnah began with the words, Ritzayach Shinas Arba Cherim, Kulam Paturim. So ask the Gemara, who are Acherim? Man Acherim. Ilay Macherim Ksherim. If we're going to say that this Ritzayach got mixed up with people who are Ksherim, Pshita. In such a case, they should all go free. Do we say that Vesu, Bahar Lamer of Yehuda, in such a case, would Rabbi Yehuda suggest that Kaitzen Arsayla keep up? Sim Bashrach. So we have the question, again, the Mishnah spoke about a case where the Ritzayach got mixed up with Acherim, and we need to understand what exactly is the case of the Mishnah. Says Amar Avua Mishmul, Hach Ritzayach Shaloi Nigma Dinoi. We have a case where the Ritzayach was not yet sentenced. Shenigvar Shenisar Bacherim Shenigma Dinoi Skinen. So this person is a murderer, but his psak was not yet issued, and he got confused together with other people whose psak was completed and they were sentenced to death. And, says the Gemara, the Rabbanan Sari, Rabbanan's opinion is, that ain't going to be Dina Shaladam, Elabafonov. We cannot sentence the person only if we can identify that person. Hilkach, in this case, Kulam Paturim. Because on every person, we don't know who is the person that is the subject of this particular din Torah that we're in middle of. And it's a din Torah that we can't finish because we can only finish it the fun of. Rabbi Yehuda says, you're right. We can't finish the din Torah because we don't know who is the murderer in this case. We can't completely exonerate him because kiven the rotzchen in him, because all of the people that we're speaking about here are rotzchim. And since all of them are rotzchim, we don't want to have them in society. We want to eliminate them. And therefore, the halach is, So our Gemara has taught us that we have to be able to identify the perpetrator. So there was a case with, there was a person who was caught stealing, and the Edom handed over this individual to the authorities. And then, when it came to have the court case, so these Edom weren't able to identify who were the Ganovim. So they said at the time where we handed them over, we were able to identify who was who. But it's so, the case is taking place so much longer after that happened, we aren't able to identify. What will be the halacha? Because we just learned in the Gemara that it's not considered, you can't say the person is guilty only by fun of. And from here, says the Knesset Gedolah, if indeed when we come to the Din Torah, the Edom are unable to identify, then they'll be able to go free. The Shas HaTshuvas Shvus Yaakov disagree. Because he says, in our case, where the Edom were able to identify him at one point, and at this point, they came to Beis Din at that point, and they brought him to Beis Din, the halach is that that's considered enough of identification, even though now they can't identify him. Says the Rish Lakish, and really the machlokes is, do you have to have re-yediya or is yediya enough? Rish Lakish ve'adam, the Kalamal Pligatiri. In a case that we just identified, where a person got mingled up with the other people and we can't know who is the person, that everybody would agree that he goes free. Avlochaloi b'shar. Our Mishnah speaking about an animal. Like nigmar dinoi, and the din Torah on the animal was not completed. Shenus'arev b'shvarim acherim, shenigma dinon, that this animal got mingled with other animals that were, that din Torah was completed, that the chayiv to be killed. And that's the subject of machlokes. Rabbanan Savri, the Rabbanan opinion is, Mises Baalim, Kach Mises HaShor, and just like by the owner, we just learned that everybody agrees, we have to be able to identify him, and if we can't identify him, then he goes free. So too, the halach is by an animal. And Hilkach, in this case, where we have a shor whose din Torah cannot be completed, the halacha is that all the animals are free. Rabbi Yehuda Savar, the halacha of Bifanov is a halacha that Rabbi Yehuda is very much agreeable to. But he says that we say this halacha only by a human being. We don't say it by animals. And since we don't say it by animals, therefore, all the animals in such a case are put to death. Of course, the question is, why don't we say bittel b'roiv? So we learned earlier in our shir that we're going to say that when you have all of them in the same place, we have here the principle of kol kavua kemechza mechzadami. So this would be a case of kol kavua. But even if they're not in one place, there's another reason why we can't say bittel b'roiv, and that is that an animal, a living animal, is a davar chashuv. And something which is a davar chashuv, the halacha is, does not become, something which is a davar chashuv, does not become bottle.